Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of God from the Old Testament reading in Isaiah chapter 60. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. This is God's word. The word light is found all over your English Bible. And certain authors in the Bible really like to use the theme of light more than others. Take, for example, Moses. 5 books of the Bible, Genesis through Deuteronomy, he wrote, mentions the word light 23 times. King David, who wrote a number of the Psalms, uses the word 22 times. Isaiah the prophet, who wrote our Old Testament reading, uses it 22 times. St. Luke, 27. St. Paul, 20 times. But no one in the Bible uses the word light more than St. John. He uses it 30 times. You can't miss it if you're reading through John's gospel or his epistles or the book of Revelation. The theme of light. Now, it's customary that on Epiphany we hear from St. Matthew and his gospel, as we did a few moments ago, because Matthew, he's the only one of the 4 gospel writers who tells us about the visit of the Magi, the wise men, to the Lord Jesus Christ. So it's customary that we hear Matthew chapter 2 and the visit of the wise men to the child Jesus. We would do just as well in this Epiphany season, which kicks off tonight, to instead hear all of St. John's writings read one after another continuously. Start with John's gospel, finish that, all 22 chapters, and then go, 21 chapters, sorry. And you go into 1 John and 2 John and 3 John and then all of Revelation. We won't do that to you tonight because that would be a very long service, but you would get that theme of light. And the reason that fits for Epiphany is because that's the theme of Epiphany. The word Epiphany means revealing or uncovering. And it's in Epiphany that we look to God who shines light into darkness. In fact, I would even make an argument that perhaps you could describe the whole theme of the Bible as being God shining light into darkness. Because it's right there at the very beginning. How does God create the world? In Genesis chapter 1, verse 3, God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God separated the light from the darkness. The very first thing that God made was light. In his gospel, St. John connects that light to Jesus. He says, "The true light, Jesus, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world." So as God created light upon the earth, that light is connected to Jesus Christ himself. And so all throughout the Bible, beginning in Genesis, you have this sort of pitting against each other of light and darkness. You know, there are all these sort of contrasts that exist in the Bible, right? Life versus death. Sin versus righteousness. Good versus evil. God versus Satan. Heaven versus hell. And of course, light versus darkness. Sin and righteousness, we might struggle to understand. Heaven and hell can be beyond our comprehension. God and Satan as well. Life and death, we're still trying to unlock mysteries surrounding life and death. Good and evil, those can get mixed up at times by wicked people. But light and darkness, everyone understands. Even to the youngest child who prefers a nightlight in their bedroom or asks mom or dad to leave the door open so the light from the hallway can shine in. Light overcomes darkness. Light scatters darkness. Darkness is the absence of light, and where that light is shown, darkness is dispelled. The prophet Isaiah, in verse 2 of our Old Testament reading, says, "Behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples." Surely when Isaiah wrote that, there was already darkness on the earth. There was darkness yet to come. And perhaps we're all too aware of the darkness on display today, here and now. Any of you who had your mind captive to your television or your web browser and saw what was happening in Washington today? No. Pandemics, elections, riots, and all the things that go on around us. It's all darkness on display. Because, you see, here's the thing, not to pass judgment on all those involved in those things outside of us. Darkness also lies within us. We turn back to St. John in his first letter, chapter 2. Whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness and does not know where he is going because the darkness has blinded his eyes. You see, we need to be able to properly, as Christians, diagnose what's happening in our world right now. But at the same time, we do that by diagnosing what's going on within ourselves. And that is sin, evil, wickedness, all those things I described before. Death, unrighteousness, sin, evil, Satan, hell, it's all darkness. And as Isaiah reminds us, it covers the earth. It covers the people. Martin Luther King once famously said in a sermon of his, "Darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that. Hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that." Well, more specifically to Dr. King's point, the true light, the one who is love incarnate, Jesus Christ is the one who scatters the darkness of sin, of hate, of evil, of death. Isaiah begins our reading by saying, "Arise, shine. For your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you." In the middle of the darkness of his world, Isaiah, through a word from the Lord, pointed people to the one who would come, born of Mary, laid in a manger, and worshipped by wise men, magi, stargazers from afar. The oddest of people who came to bring him gifts. He was the light that had come into the world. Amid that darkness, Isaiah said, the Lord will arise upon you and his glory will be seen upon you. He's talking to Israel. People will see the glory of God, the light, Jesus Christ. They'll see him in Israel. But of course, as I hope you know already, as we've been saying over and over, you are Israel. You are sons and daughters of Abraham. You're his children because you're heirs of the promise, as Paul speaks about in our epistle today, that we are heirs. And therefore, the nations, which if you haven't noticed are in a bit of turmoil right now, the world, the peoples of the world, where will they see the light of Christ? They'll see it in you, the church. Because where else do we have to go in the middle of this present darkness? What will be the light that scatters our darkness? Is it going to be peace with our elections? Is it going to be vaccines? Is it going to be laws or judges and their verdicts? Is it going to be the Constitution, or is it going to be a stimulus check? Are these the things that are going to scatter the darkness in which we find ourselves? The only light that can scatter this darkness, dear friends in Jesus, is Christ your Lord. The one who welcomed strange people from afar to worship him at his bed with gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. And they found him by following a light, a star. Some of you may have tried to locate the quote-unquote star of Bethlehem just before Christmas, which was the conjunction of Jupiter and Saturn in the sky, and was supposed to shine brightly, perfectly, in late December in the UP. It was cloudy, so probably not very visible. But God still gives a light for us to look to in the middle of the darkness, to orient ourselves, to find our way, to find our path. That light is Christ, his death for your sin, his life to overcome your death, his body and his blood to be your food. He, the light that overcomes all of the darkness. Dearest friends in Jesus Christ, a great light has arisen from God your Father upon you. It shines on you so that others can see it. That Christ has come into the world to save sinners. And we, the church, just like that star, we point people to Christ. We show them where he is, that they may share in the life and light that scatters the death and darkness for all eternity. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.